Summary of Memoirs. Summary in bullet points. People who influenced my life. Father and mother. Herbert Vogt taught me the basics of tennis. Dr. Karl Kalmund planted the idea of learning the banking business. Uli Fassbender introduced me to Dr. Haas at Hugo Stinnes Bank. Horst Jägerler taught me the basics of foreign exchange trading. Dr. Karl Haas sent me for training to Paris and New York. Eddie Reichers hired me into Citibank. Hans von Pflüge taught me the American way of life. Jack Arnold brought me for 6 months to Citibank, New York. Don Howard transferred me permanently to Citibank, New York, and became a major mentor. Rita Rodriguez, co-author of my first two books, and introduced me to Ingo Volter at New York University. Ingo Volter hired me as a professor at New York University. Jill Reel, my wife since 1984. Pastor Frank Wagner of Holy Spirit Lutheran Church reignited my spiritual life. Timeline of important events and decisions. 1936. Born in Mülheim-Ruhrsturm, Germany. 1942. Reward card incident with my mother. 1947. Parents sent me to a 6-year high school instead of a 9-year gymnasium. 1948. Soccer ball taken away because of poor grades in school. 1950. Began playing tennis after the Uncle Otto incident. 1952. Switched from Rot-Weiss Tennis Club to Kahlenberg under the influence of Dr. Kalmund. 1953. Attended 1-year commercial trade school. 1954. Joined Hugo Stinnes Bank for a banking apprenticeship and was introduced to foreign exchange trading. 1958. 2 months of foreign exchange training in Paris. 1959. Married Karin Boese and spent 2 months training at Citibank in New York. 1960. Left Hugo Stinnes and joined Citibank in Frankfurt. Son Heinz was born.
1961. Creation of the treasury concept. 1968. Married Ingrid Valendi. 1968. Son Ralph born. Became manager of the new Citibank Dusseldorf branch. 1970. Daughter Janine born. Transferred to Citibank New York. Created the Nassau Bahamas Offshore Funding Center and expanded corporate counseling activities. 1974. Attended the 14-week PMD program at Harvard Business School. 1975. Globalized my treasury concept within Citibank. 1976. Became regional treasurer for the Asia-Pacific region, living in Manila, Philippines, and Hong Kong. 1977, wrote Foreign Exchange Markets and began teaching at the Asian Institute of Management in Manila. 1981, transferred from Hong Kong back to Citibank, New York. 1982, began teaching at New York University. 1983, met Jill. 1983, wrote Foreign Exchange and Money Markets. 1984, married Jill. 1987, created the Value at Risk, VAR, concept. 1989, took up golf. 1995, retired from Citibank. 1998, served as expert witness for the Federal Reserve Bank of New York versus the Central Bank of Iran at the International Claims Tribunal in The Hague. 1999, received an honorary doctoral degree from Iona College. 1999, wrote Managing Risk in the Foreign Exchange, Money and Derivative Markets, and received the Excellence in Teaching Award from New York University. 2000, served as expert witness for Deutsche Bank Singapore, participated in the Hotel Pierre meeting in New York. 2004, moved to Admiral's Cove in Jupiter, Florida, joined the House and Finance Committees. 2009, elected to the Board of Governors at Admiral's Cove and served as treasurer of the club for 3 years. Personal characteristics and natural skills. Good basic health and strong genes. Positive thinking. Belief in myself and confidence that positive things will happen. Clear thinking and questioning unclear statements by others. Speaking in a clear and logical manner. Strong mental arithmetic and numerical ability. Excellent memory for facts and poems. Persistence and refusal to easily accept no for an answer. Strong instinct for making money. Powerful intuition and trust in my inner voice. Opportunities and the ability to benefit from situations others call luck. Switching from Rot-Weiss Tennis Club to Carlenberg Tennis Club, 1952. Learning foreign exchange trading at Stinnes, 1954. Getting the attention of Eddie Reichers at Citibank New York, 1959. Moving from Stinnes to Citibank, 1960. Creating the treasury concept at Citibank and generating substantial profits for the bank through creative new approaches, 1961 to 1964. Teaching at the Asian Institute of Management in Manila, 1977, and at New York University, 1982. Meeting Jill in 1983. Missed opportunities and areas not fully developed. Tennis and physical exercise. I could have become a much better player. Learning Spanish. I could have become fluent while covering South America. My 1981 position at Citibank. I could perhaps have achieved an even more senior role. Time with my children. Not enough. Spending more time focused on family and tradition. Poorly executed intentions regarding family. I regret not having spent more time with my children and grandchildren. My focus on professional advancement left too little time for family. If I could live my life again, I would do things differently and place greater emphasis on family. My impact on the world and other people. Innovations in finance that later became industry standards. Encouraging co-workers and students and instilling confidence in them. Positively influencing thousands of lives. Impact on my own children. Attitude toward money and finances. Always saved money and never spent more than I earned. Focused on income generation and investment. Always loved and invested in real estate. Always believed I could generate additional income in the future. Maintained an intuitive sense for an appropriate level of spending. Life rules. Two things everybody must do. Learn something. Acquire knowledge and skills. Earn enough money to support oneself without regular financial help from parents, friends, or government. Two things everybody should do in this sequence. Get married. Have children. Before marriage, agree on the following important subjects. Parents, religion, money, children. Giving and returning. I have always tried to be generous in both large and small ways, including endowing a professorial chair at New York University, funding scholarships, acting as a holiday Santa at supermarkets, and tipping generously. I have always followed the principle, learn, earn, return.
Summary in prose. This book describes my life until 2017. As I stated in the preface, the entire book is written completely from my memories. I never kept notes of anything. I just sat down and began to type. 2 weeks later, I had created 350 pages, the core of this book. As I am an optimist who always sees the glass as half full, I probably remembered more positive than negative things of my life. That is normal and human, and the way I choose to remember my life. It all began with my mother, the most important person in my life. She gave birth to me against the recommendations of doctors. When I was only weeks old and seriously sick, she followed doctor's orders of feeding me a squished banana every day, squeezed with a sterling fork, and milk from the same cow. However, once I could walk, she gave me enough rope to let me eat everything I could get my hands on in my father's bakery, including fat and dirt. Combined with good genes, this intake of dirt at a very young age and being forced to end each hot bath / shower with cold water laid the foundation of my sturdy health, in spite of being overweight in the second part of my life. Without my mother, none of that would have happened. These days, many people take a probiotic supplement daily, which puts dirt into their bodies to bolster their immune system. I do not have to take such a pill, because I have a solid foundation of dirt in my system from early childhood on. There was the reward card story shortly after I entered first grade, which taught me, if it's going to be, it's up to me. There was also the day when my mother temporarily took my soccer ball away when I was in sixth grade, age 12. She did this as an effective incentive for me to improve my academic performance. Those two actions had life-changing impacts on me. However, most important was my mother's constant message hammered into my head from the earliest childhood on. What others can do, you can do too. This created in me a can-do attitude and strong belief that there is nothing that I cannot do. If you believe it, you can do it. My mother's stories about her father's pub and his money-making ways, as well as her own behavior in building up her grocery store, instilled in me the drive for excellence and the desire to be successful in my life. Her definition of success was making money and becoming a respected member of society. Nobody is perfect, and my mother's one shortcoming was that she did not emphasize much the value of family. I paid for that with two failed marriages. It was only after my third wife, Jill, entered my life in 1983 that I learned from her about family values and the concept that family cannot do wrong. A large part of my economic and social success resulted from having joined Citibank Frankfurt in 1960, as well as moving to New York City and the United States in 1970. Where I have lived for more than half of my life. All the advantages offered by the American way of life indirectly also benefited my family. My son Ralph reminded me of this fact a couple of years ago when he wrote in a happy birthday note,
I have mentioned before how grateful I am for everything you have done for me as your son. And coming to live in the United States is one of those things that cover many other little ones as a result. This is indeed the land of opportunity. And as I reflect on my life to date, I smile. And my life just keeps getting better and better. Son Ralph wrote this for my 70th birthday.
Dear Pappy, happy birthday. I have mentioned before how grateful I am for everything you have done for me as your son, and coming to live in the United States is one of those things that covers many other little ones as a result. This is indeed the land of opportunity, and as I reflect on my life to date, I smile, and my life just keeps getting better and better. I hope you had a wonderful day, and Aris Leder and I look forward to your next visit on July 27th. Love, Ralf and Aris Leder.
At the time, I was probably not mature enough to make this potential impact on my family an important reason for my move. However, my all-important inner voice and intuition may have guided me one more time to do the right thing. In addition to my mother's guidance, I listened throughout my life to that strong inner voice, my intuition, my gut feeling. My strong intuition offset the absence of academic education. This intuition was so strong that I often had to fight against the results of logical thinking. I had to avoid having logic interfere with and overcome guidance derived from my intuition. This inner voice guided me when I took important life steps, including transferring from Rot-Weiss Tennis Club to Kahlenberg at age 16, leaving hometown Hugo Stinnes Bank for Citibank Frankfurt at age 24, leaving Germany for New York City at age 34, working for Citibank Asia in Manila and Hong Kong from age 40 to 45. My inner voice and intuition also inspired me when, during my 35 years at Citibank, I invented financial concepts and processes which became global industry standards, including the organizational structure of treasury, combining foreign exchange rate trading and interest rate trading under one manager, the treasurer, at age 24. Proprietary trading of foreign exchange and interest rate products for Citibank at age 25. The concept of value at risk, VAR, which converts meaningless notional slash volume and transaction amounts into meaningful estimates of how much money could usually be lost on a given risk position. This VAR concept also allows management to relate earnings from risk-taking to the risk assumed while those earnings were made, that is, a risk versus return analysis, at age 51. Numerous internal control processes protecting against errors and fraud in financial trading throughout my 35-year Citibank career, from age 24 to 59. I intuitively applied what the German philosopher Immanuel Kant describes as the ability to hear and see what everybody can hear and see, and to do something that nobody has done before. In very broad terms, I can say that I invented at Citibank, using automobile analogies, both the accelerator in the form of proprietary trading and the brakes in the form of the value at risk, VAR system, as well as numerous internal controls. Those concepts became global industry standards. They are described in my 1998 book, Managing Risk in the Foreign Exchange, Money, and Derivative Markets. If financial institutions, including Citibank, had been able to enforce and actually implement my concepts, including the segregation of responsibilities between trading and independent risk management and product programs, the financial crisis of 2008 might not have occurred. When I take a macro look back at my contributions to Citibank while I was there in the 1960 to 1995 period, I come to the following conclusion. In the 1960s, I introduced proprietary trading, specifically for the bank to speculate on anticipated changes in interest rates and foreign exchange rates, that is, to engage in proprietary trading. I created the accelerator in Citibank. In the late 1980s, I also created the needed brakes. Specifically, I invented and implemented systems to control price risk in the form of the value at risk, VAR system, as well as the concept of loan equivalent amounts for the control of pre-settlement counterparty risk in financial forward contracts for interest rates and commodities, including foreign exchange. To make it as clear as possible, I would like to say that the front office people, that is, the senior traders who made the money in order to earn the big bonuses, had more power than the people in the middle office, that is, the risk managers. On paper, there were value-at-risk limits and segregation of responsibilities, but the risk managers and internal control people were not able to implement them. The greed and the hunger for bonuses of the traders in the front office were too big. The power of the accelerator exceeded the power of the brakes.
I would like to make another important observation. During my time at Citibank from 1960 to 1995, most of the senior people in the bank were credit people at heart. They always worried about large losses in the trading area, that is, the result of excessive price risk assumed in the financial markets. Even though Citibank was the first bank to establish a Market Risk Policy Committee, of which I was a co-founder, the market people were always looked at as slightly less senior than the credit people. Against that background, it is important for me to point out that the truly large losses at Citibank were credit losses and not losses resulting from the assumption of excessive price risk in the markets. The biggest losses were suffered on mortgages, and the losses did not occur because of interest rates rising above the level at which the bank had lent mortgage money. Instead, the biggest losses occurred because the borrowers of mortgage money were too leveraged, had borrowed too much relative to the value of their houses, and could not pay back the money they had borrowed. I conclude that the problem was credit risk and not market risk or interest rate risk. Other activities inspired by my inner voice and my intuition included teaching the concepts described above at academic institutions globally, beginning with New York University at age 46. Co-authoring and authoring books about the concepts described above, all published by McGraw-Hill in New York at ages 41, 47, and 62. Endowing a full professorial chair at the Stern School of Business of New York University at age 48. Writing these memoirs has caused me to remember and relive dozens of important moments and periods of my life. All of these life segments were precious. At the time, they seemed to last forever. Looking backwards, they vanished quickly. When I began to travel globally in the 1970s, around age 40, my mother reminded me in many letters to consciously enjoy each moment. I thought that I did, yet in retrospect, I know that I did not stop often enough and consciously smell the roses. My advice to everybody is to indeed enjoy each and every moment, because it is always later than we think it is. Regretful about the past and anxious about the future, we do not take enough time to enjoy the fullness of each moment. Poem, Summer's Last Rose. Nobody knows when our time here on earth is up. The following poem captures it so beautifully. I saw the summer's last rose, beautifully red like blood. And I thought silently while passing, so much alive and so close to death. There was no wind at all this hot day. Only a white butterfly flew by. His wings barely moved the air, yet she noticed it and vanished. My favorite poems. The sentiments in these two poems by von Goethe speak of the conclusion of the wanderer's pursuit of life's ambitions and the peace that is the final reward for successfully wrestling with life's many challenges. I am grateful every day for the strength and stamina I have been given by God to live the life I have chosen. Peace is mine because I have done it well and on my own terms. Wanderer's Night Song. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe,
1776. Thou that from the heavens art, every pain and sorrow stillest, and the doubly wretched heart, doubly with refreshment fillest, I am weary with contending. Why this rapture and unrest? Sweet peace descending, come, ah, come into my breast.
Wanderer's Nachtlied, 1776, and the next one was in 1780. Above all summits it is calm. In all the treetops you feel scarcely a breath. The birds in the forest are silent. Just wait. Soon, soon you will also rest.